My title of my message today is Lord, Do You Even Care? And I know what you're thinking, man, we were up here on a crescendo and now we've come down to here. But no doubt, just like you've seen mountains moved and you've seen a way where there was no way, there's probably a time, if you've been in this Christian walk at all, that you have had the question, God, do you even care? And that's what we're going to look at today. And we know the answer to it, so I'll go ahead and give you the spoiler. Yes, he does care. More than we could ever understand. But there's times in our lives where there's troubles and trials and things that we don't understand, and we forget who our Heavenly Father is. And we're going to look at that today, and we're going to start in Mark chapter 4 and verse 37. It's a familiar story. It is the disciples are in the ship. There comes a great storm, and they panic. In the 37th verse, it says, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, he being Jesus, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he rose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." So the disciples are in a panic. They're thinking that they're about to die, and they go down in the hold of the ship, and they find Jesus down there sleeping, and they wake him up, and they say to the Son of God, "Are you aware that we're about to die? Do you even care? Lord, do you even care?" And we look at the disciples, and we think, man, how could you think that? Yet how many times, we just talked about how good of a God he is, how he's moved mountains, how he's made a way where there was no way, yet there's times we find ourselves in unbelief. And Jesus answers them in the 40th verse, and he said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And I want you to think about that, because just the chapter before, he had performed some amazing miracles. And even if he had just done one of these miracles, they had seen a man's hand that was withered was healed. They had seen throngs of people. There were so many people that were being healed that he had to get into a boat and push back from the shore because people were pressing him that were plagued with diseases. And, you know, a lot of the people that have written the commentaries and a lot of the biblical scholars will tell you there would be books upon books if they talked about every healing that God did. And there's times where people were just in Jesus' shadow, and they were immediately healed. And the disciples had witnessed this. The disciples had seen all of these miraculous miracles, and yet they still struggled in unbelief. And think about your own life. Think about how many times God has been good. And sometimes we forget to reflect back on that and think about all the good things that God has done, because we're in the middle of our trouble and we're in the middle of our trial. And we have to remind ourselves, remember when I was in that last trial and God brought me through. And we sometimes want to put ourselves in the role of the hero, but we have to understand we are just like the disciples. And, you know, you would think that, man, Jesus is right there with them. Like, he's in the ship. And he told them to get on the ship. A few verses back, he said, "Get in the ship and we're going to go across the sea." So it was God's plan all along for them to be in the ship. And God is right there with them, yet they have unbelief. But how many know this morning that God is right there with us? He is right there. We can't physically see him, but he is there. And there's times, you know, we can't go on a feeling. Growing up in a Pentecostal church, man, I love goosebumps, and I love when the Spirit moves, and man, I love when all that's there, but you can't just live on a feeling. Because right now, while we're in church, and it's Sunday morning, and we got our good clothes on, and we're looking sharp, and we're coming in here, it's easy to go, man, I believe. It's when the hard times come, it's when the tough times come, that we have to understand you're not always going to feel saved. You're not always going to feel like a Christian. So you can't live on emotion. You have to live on where you know. And it's kind of like with a relationship, there's ebbs and flows in relationships. Whether it's your husband, your wife, family members, friends, there's ebbs and flows. There's times that it's not always exciting and it's not always the honeymoon phase, but you still know that love's there. You still know that carries on. And that's the same way with God. And it says they, in the 41st chapter, they said, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And the disciples hadn't fully grasped who Jesus was. And I don't know that they ever fully grasped it until he was gone, because they still saw him as a man, because they referred to him, "What manner of man is this?" Well, he was God come down in the flesh. And so we look in Philippians and we see what Paul has to say on this subject. And in the 4th chapter of Philippians, in the 6th verse, he says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Let's break that down. Let's talk about that. Be careful for nothing. Be careful. That phrase means not to be anxious or troubled about anything. Raise your hand if you're not ever anxious or troubled about anything. Okay, if you raise your hand, I was going to call you a liar, but I don't think anybody raised their hand, so that's good. But the Bible says that we're not to be anxious or troubled about anything. And it's easy when you're up on the mountain to not be anxious or troubled. When the bills are paid and the refrigerator's full and everything's going well, boy, you could preach a sinner to salvation, can't you? But it's when the bills aren't paid, it's when the rent's due and you ain't got any money in the bank account, and all you got in the cupboard is peanut butter and a loaf of bread, and it's got to last for 2 weeks. That's when we have to strengthen our faith. That's when we have to recall, "I remember when I was in this trial and God saved me." David, when he was getting ready to face Goliath, he said, I slew a bear and I slew a lion, and this Philistine won't be any different. We have to remind ourselves that, and we have to strengthen ourselves in the Lord, because at the end of the day, it's not in you. It's not in who you are. It's in who God is. You're weak. You're not worthy of what God has given you. And that's not beating you up. I understand a lot of preachers now are life coaches, and that's probably not what you should say to someone. You're weak. Repeat after me. You're weak. Turn and tell your neighbor, "You're worthless." You're not worthless. But understand what I'm saying. It is through God of what we have. Any blessings, anything that you have is from God. So if I'm depending on God, if I'm putting my faith and my trust in God, then God's got it. God's got it. When I'm struggling, when I don't know where to turn, God has got it. Now, the good thing that the disciples did is they went and found God. They went and found Jesus. Now, there was some unbelief there, but they at least ran to the right person. That's a start. Run to the right person. But he says, "Be careful," or "be anxious," or "be troubled about nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication." We have to make our needs known to God. God knows our needs, but we have to take it to God. "God, I'm struggling with this. Help me." And you may still be struggling tomorrow. "God, I'm struggling with this. Help me. God, I'm worried about this. Help me." That's what he wants from us. Total dependence. To yield our everything, every part of our walk with God, to yield it to him. "God, if you want to take something out of my life, take it out of my life. Because if it's not supposed to be there, I don't want it there, and I'll be blessed better than what you have for me." Sometimes we get so wound up and, you know, we want to hold on. We got a turkey sandwich, but God's got a smoked turkey over here with green beans and all the fixings, but we're holding on to this cold turkey sandwich. God has better for you. God has a blessing for you, but you have to take things to God. Prayer and supplication. He goes on to say, the 7th verse, he says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That passes our understanding. That means we can't comprehend it. Because when you get this, and you get this in your soul, you're walking through those trials, and there's a peace with it. You're still going to have troubles and trials. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you're newly saved, get ready. You're going to have troubles and trials from now until we get to the other side of heaven. But once we realize, and once we understand God is in control, it's all over after that. And so we have to remind ourselves of what his scripture says. And he comes on down in the same chapter there in the 19th verse. And he says, but my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That doesn't say that he's going to supply a little bit. He's going to supply to my needs, but he's going to meet it with his needs. His arm is not short. We said he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He will make a way. We have to put our trust in him. We'll jump to Romans chapter 8. And it says, we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so we have to understand the difference between a need and a want. I talk to my children about this a lot of times. Daddy, I need a new iPhone. Is your current one broke? Well, no. Is it not running well? No. Okay, so you want a new iPhone. There's a difference between a need and a want. We have to understand that there are times we think that we need things, but we have to go to God. And he talks about two conditions that must be met for things to work for our good. The number one is you have to love God. You have to love God with all of your heart. And if you're a Christian, then check, you got that. But number two, it must be for his purpose and not ours. And we have to remember, God is never going to do something that is going to glorify man. It is going to be in turn and a way to glorify him, because that's the way that it's set up. So those two conditions must be met. So if there's something you're asking and praying for and you're not receiving it, one of those two things may not be met. And so we have to understand that God will give us the desires of our heart, but we forget the last part of that verse, according to his will. And that's where we have to line our will up with God. And we have to let go and let God and allow him to move and guide us. Because when we align our will with his, there's more blessings than we could ever know. And when we figure that out, when we figure out that it is God's will and not our will, that's when things start falling in place for us. In the 29th verse of Romans, it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among the brethren. Moreover, whom did he predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified. Now, I don't want to confuse you here when you see that word predestined, because there's a doctrine out there, and it's a false doctrine, that people are predestined, that they're predestined to heaven or they're predestined to hell. And that's wrong. Why are we evangelizing to people if it's already been determined who's going to heaven and who's going to hell? That doesn't add up to what the gospel is about, because we're to take this gospel to the world. But what he's talking about is, once you've made your decision, it is predestined what's going to happen. If you put your faith and trust in God, here's what's going to happen. If you don't put your faith and trust in God, here's what's going to happen. God knows the answers, and he doesn't predestine who will be saved, but he has plans laid out once we have made our choice. But he says here, him who he have called, he is also justified. And we have to understand, and again, I go back to, we're in troubles and trials, we're in hardships. We have to remember, God has called us and we have answered the call. So therefore, we are justified. Even in the midst of a trial, even in the midst of a struggle, we are justified. And then he goes on and he says, those who he justified, he also glorified. So these are promises. And we said he doesn't not meet a promise, yes? So if he doesn't, if he always meets his promises, if he'll move mountains out of the way when we're aligned with his will, then when we're in a struggle and a trial and we find ourselves where we go, God, do you even care? We have to remember back to what his word said. We have to remember back that he called me. Now, he's called everyone, but there's only some that have answered the call. If he's called you and you've answered the call, you have to remind yourself of that and you have to strengthen yourself in that. So when you're in a trouble and trial, when you're going through those hardships, these are things that we recall back to our mind. There's a time, I had a pastor tell me one time, he said, you know, when we're praying, sometimes we forget that we're supposed to praise God. You know, when we come in and we have praise and worship, we are praising God. And when we have our quiet time and we have our prayer with God, sometimes we forget, we just jump right to the checklist. God, I need this. God, I'm taking care. I want you to take care of this. And there's nothing wrong with bringing our needs to God. We should. But we also have to remember there's times to thank and praise Him. When you begin to thank God for all the things that you have, there's so many things that God does that we don't even realize, that He keeps His hand on us, that He blesses us, that we don't even know that He's done. So we have to remember that those that He has called. And so Paul goes in the 31st verse. He says, what shall we say then these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? In the midst of your trouble, in the midst of your trial, no matter what you are facing, and when we talk about facing a mountain, when you run in smack dab into a mountain, and depending on how big that mountain is, you can't go around it, you can't go over it, but God will move it. Because it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? When you are in the deepest, darkest place in your life, you have to remember, God is for me. Why is He for me? Because I am His child. Because I am saved. Because I am covered by His precious blood. If God can be for us, who can be against us? And he says that He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He sacrificed, we use the phrase, He bankrupted heaven. That means He sent the best that heaven had to offer, which was His holy Son. And He bankrupted heaven for us. How much more will He help us through a trial? So when you're in a trial, when you're struggling, and I know there's people here today that you're in the midst of a trial and you're going up against it. And when you're in the midst of it, you have to understand that God is right there. God is right there, just like He was with the disciples in the ship. He's right there. When we take a step, He takes a step. The Holy Spirit is there with us everywhere we go, everywhere we've been. I've said it before. I don't know what you were doing last night. I don't know if you were acting up, cutting up, or doing right. But wherever you were and whatever you were doing, God knows. And He still loves you. And so we have to understand when we find ourselves in that dark place, when we find ourselves in that struggle, and we feel like giving up, God sent His Son for us. God bankrupted heaven for us, for all of us. Not just the special people, not just the you know what we think are the super saved people, but every single person that will come and simply accept Him. And so the final part of my message, I want to take a look at Matthew chapter 6. And we'll start with verse 24. And this is one of my favorite groups of scriptures because it really lays out and makes an argument for why we don't have to worry and why that we can put our faith and trust in God. And it starts out with the 21st verse. It says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon means anything at all. So you cannot serve God and two masters. You can't have two things that are equal with God. It's God and then everything else. That's the way that it's set up to be. We have to understand that we have to choose to serve God, because at the end of the day, we have a choice. We have a choice in who we serve. We have a choice in which direction we're going to go. And if we allow anything to get in the way of that, we're going to see troubles and trials. There's two reasons that troubles and trials come. Number one is because we get out of the will of God. You look at Jonah. Jonah's our example of that. God told him to go to Nineveh, and he went the other way. And when he went the other way, he ran smack dab into a trial until he realized, oh, God wants me going this way. And he turned and tucked tail and went the other way. The other thing is we see Job as the example of troubles and trials. Job was righteous, and Job went through troubles and trials. Why? Because God was testing him. And he had great faith, and it says in the Bible, great faith must be tested greatly. And he came through that, and God blessed him. So those are the two different trials that we see. And no doubt at some point in your life, you're probably going to experience both. And that's where we have to look and say, okay, what is God teaching me? When you run into a struggle, when you run into a hardship, what is God showing me? And that is where we have to drop to our knees, and we have to seek God. Because that's ultimately, if we're out of the will of God, we got to get back in the will of God. And if we are in the will of God, because again, we go back to the disciples, Jesus told them, get in the ship, let's go to the other side. Jesus sent them in there knowing what they were about to run into. And if God is sending you into a trial, he will provide for you and give you the strength to go through that trial. That's where I think a lot of times people misunderstand, you know, God won't give you anything harder than you can bear. What that actually means is he will support you and give you the support to get through that trial. It's not you on your own. It's your faith and your strength in God. He goes into the 25th verse and he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body, what you shall put on. Is life more than meat and the body more than raiment? There's more to this life than the clothes you wear and the food that you eat. Is there anything wrong with looking good and wanting to have some good clothes? Nothing wrong with that at all. But that can't consume you. Same thing with what you eat. Should you be mindful of what you put in your body? Absolutely. Our body is the temple of God. So we should take care of it. But at the same time, that can't consume us and take us away from God. He goes on in the 26th verse. He said, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? So he makes the example here of the birds. The birds don't do anything. They don't go to a job. They fly around, and God provides for them. And they're beautiful creatures. And God provides for them, and he's given them the knowledge to know when to fly south, and know when to come back north, and know when to migrate here, and when to go there. God has provided for them. It says not a sparrow doesn't fall that God doesn't know about it. And if God has provided for a bird that is lower in the level of creation than us, then how much more will he provide for us? So he gives us the example of he takes care of the birds. How much more is he going to take care of you? And he goes in the 27th verse, he says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? So if we all sit here and we meditated this morning and we said, grow, 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 none of us are going to grow. You can think about growing all day long, and you ain't going to grow an inch. And what God is comparing that to is to worrying and dwelling on our problems. Because thinking of worrying about your problems, having anxiety about your problems, is just as useless as thinking about growing and seeing something happen. Now again, God gave us common sense, and there's times that, okay, God will help us plan and get through things, but the worry and the anxiety, are you with me this morning? I don't want you to make you think that when you're in the middle of a trial that you don't think about it and you don't pray about it and you don't allow God to work through you. But at the same time, that worry and that anxiety is what should not be there. That's where we have to give that to God. He goes in the 28th verse and he gives us another example. And he says, and why you take thought for your raiment or your clothes, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, nor do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And again, he's talking about worrying about our daily lives. And he brings up the flowers. And you look at some of these beautiful flowers and how intricate they are. And think about everything that goes into a flower blooming. Think about the bluebonnets. Nobody plants those, right? But every year they come back up. Think about everything that had to happen. There has to be a right amount of rain. Can't be too much, too little. Has to be the right amount of sun. Not too much, not too little. There has to be a bee come along and pollinate that and cause it to bloom. All these things are lined up. And that's what gets me about creation, that people go, well, there was just a big bang and all of these things just coincidentally happened. I think that takes more faith to believe that than it does that there's a creator that set it all in motion. And we're seeing it here in Matthew, it's talking, all of these things are done for the flowers, and how long are they here? How long are the bluebonnets here? They're here and they're gone. The flowers bloom, and they're beautiful, and then they wither and die. When we first got married, I would give my wife flowers, and she would say, Don't spend money on that. They just die. And you can do all you want to take care of and to feed and water those flowers, but at the end of the day, they're going to perish. And if God puts that much thought and that much time into the flowers and to the birds, how much does he care for you that he calls his children? He calls you his child. He has chosen you. He has plucked you. You are his child. He doesn't call the birds. There's nowhere in Scripture that he calls the birds his children. There's nowhere in Scripture that he talks about the flowers and what he's done for them. But yet, he takes care of them. He takes care of them because it's his creation. If he'll take care of the lowly things, how much more will he take care of his children? And this morning, when we're excited and we're feeling good, man, that's good to remember. But what I'm challenging you is when you're in your next trial, when you're in your next trouble, you have to recall back and remember, God's got me. God's taking care of the flowers and the birds and the insects and the animals and everything in his creation. How much more does he care for me that it is his child? In the 30th verse, he says, wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Ooh, that kind of stings. Because sometimes we find our faith wavering. And he says in the 31st verse, so he ties this all together. So he's made all these examples. And then he says, therefore, and when we see therefore, we know that's because of this. Take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, and your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. God has knows of your need before you do. He knows what you need before you do. Because his ways are higher, his thoughts are not our ways. And that's why it's so important when we run smack dab into a trial, we have to turn and run smack dab into Jesus. And when we do that, he will provide. And he sums it up in the 31st verse, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we will run to God first, he will make him first in our lives, all of these things will be taken care of. That doesn't mean you won't struggle. We won't stop struggling until we get to the other side of heaven. But if you put your faith and your trust in God, all of these things will be provided unto you. And in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your storm, in the midst of whatever you've got going on in your life, God will still be there. And he says this in the 31st verse, and this is my last scripture. It says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We have to take this life one day at a time. You know, there's that old song we sing, one day at a time, sweet Jesus. It's all that I'm asking of you. Because at some point, we will go from this life to the other. And we have to trust God unto death, to the point of God knows when our expiration date is up. God knows when he's going to pluck us off this planet and call us to heaven. And there's nothing you can do about it. Should you take care of yourself? Sure. Should you do the things to have a long life? You know, it says to honor your mother and father that you may have a long life. And children, you need to listen to that. You're not always going to agree with your parents, but you better honor them and you better respect them because that's what the Bible says. But if we will keep God first, even in the trials, even in the valleys, even in the dark places, I love it. It said in that song, it said, you know, we're in the night, but the morning is coming. The morning is coming. And so we have to remember that. So I want to encourage you with that today, and I want to leave you with that thought. No matter what is going on in your life, no matter what trials and troubles that you are facing, remember that God is faithful. Stand with me if you will, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we thank you for all that you've done. Lord, I ask to bring to remembrance to your people today the times that you have healed them, the times that you have saved them, that you have kept them when they were in a dark place. Lord, I pray for those that are in the struggle right now, that are in the midst of a trial, Lord, that you would touch their hearts. And the same way that Jesus said, peace be still to the storm, that we would say, peace be still to our problems and our trials, and that you would help us to walk through them. Lord, touch our minds and our hearts, that we would keep you first, Father. Help us to walk in your ways and to walk in your will. We ask these things according to your will and in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. You know, it's so good to know that the Lord cares for us, which is why we don't have to be worried about those things. We don't have to carry our stress and our worries, but we can cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. We thank God for all of you that are here today. Those of you who are tuned in on the webcast, we appreciate you. And I just want to encourage you, if you had not had an opportunity to give, please take the time before you leave the service today. Those online, you can scroll down and hit the donate button. Also, we thank God for all of you who have bought in food towards the food pantry thus far. We are still looking for different items. And if you are out at the store, you can stop by and pick something up and bring it in so that we can continue to be a blessing to those in need. Also, if you are someone or if you know someone who is in need of a food basket, please go out and hit the benevolence button on the webpage, or you can see one of us in the service and we can make it happen. Amen. Praise God. What I say unto one, I say unto all, watch, pray, thank the Lord every day for his care. Amen. We're dismissed.